Hey there, St. Andrew's family. We are back at it with How the Sausage is Made. It's Pastor Matt and
Pastor Ethan.
yeah, man. I was excited, even though I wasn't here. I was excited to be able to listen to your awesome sermon on Psalm 90. And
Yes,
I don't know.
sir.
You were dealing with a pretty difficult subject matter as we think about what it means to worship a God who is also, you know, who is just, who has wrath against evil.
Right.
And those are the things, aspects of God we talk about a lot, especially in our North American culture, you know? So first off, I guess, as we're looking at kind of pulling back the curtain a little bit on writing a sermon, we're bound to preach what the text says, right? We can't make the text say something it doesn't say. You know,
Amen. Amen.
so what's that like when you open up that night, man? This is a tough one. This is dealing with the kind of maybe not the most popular subject matter, you know. Tell me about that process.
A little bit of anger and wrath, man. You know, nothing better than that, right?
Right.
Honestly, it was kind of like you said, it's one of those things where you don't necessarily get to pick and choose what you preach on. And also, like, I took it as like this is kind of a good opportunity to be able to wrestle with some of the harder things in the scriptures, like. We shouldn't kid ourselves into thinking that everything we're going to talk about every week is just going to be fluffy and nice and easy, and not that it always is anyways, but yeah, I think it was a I really ended up just loving getting to prepare that sermon because kind of the main thing going on in my mind was God, yeah, like you said, must be a just God. God must be, you know, he must condemn sin in order to, you know, be good. And this is just kind of like the reality that we live in. And Moses, I think, just does such a beautiful job of like, he literally stood in between the just, good, righteous, holy, wrathful God and, you know, the sinful people who were constantly making God angry. You know, he like literally stood right in the middle of them all the time.
And it's and I mean, what a remarkable thing. It's also, you know, he has to have some confidence in the mercy of God. Even though God's wrathful, he has to have some kind of confidence in the mercy of God, because that's not, you know, standing
Absolutely.
in between God and the people is not something that you take lightly ever. It's not like a,
No.
you know, yeah, that's just a
And
very challenging thought.
it's like I think more so than anybody, he fully got to see firsthand the judgment of God, which only seems to solidify his confidence in the mercy and the love and the forgiveness of God. Because those two things are they're never separated, and that's what I tried to highlight through the story that we looked at in the book of Numbers, where like God's anger and wrath against sin is it's never separate from his love for the people and his mercy for the people, and they don't contradict each other. And Moses is so consistent with that. Moses is he's such like a like his credentials are the best they can be in terms of learning from him. The fact that God is still merciful and kind and forgiving, despite the fact that humankind has fallen and is deserving of judgment. So those two things held in balance are they're so real and they're the truth and they're to me they're so beautiful to be able to kind of meditate through. So.
Well, absolutely. But I was thinking, you know, the book of Numbers has a lot to do with wrath. There's a lot of wrath. There's wrath against the enemies. There's wrath against God's own people for their sinfulness. So how did you kind of pick out the account you wanted to use? What was that? What kind of led you to go that route?
Yeah, that's a good question because like you said, there were so many like stories we could have meditated on. Like I could have just kind of pulled a straw out of a hat, honestly. But I thought this one, it was fairly familiar enough with some of the themes we've been talking about like we've been kind of repeating the fact that God's people have been set free from Egypt. They've been kind of wandering around the desert. They've been provided for by God. He's met them at Mount Sinai, all these things. And it was one of those stories where it also happened to work out where Moses specifically includes in the middle of the story that phrase, give thanks to the Lord for he is good and
Oh,
his
yeah.
steadfast love endures forever. He uses that phrase hesed, which you preached on last week, and which he also
Right.
includes in Psalm 90. So there was just some nice kind of like layover and connections there. And I also think it's just interesting to remind people that the people wandered for 40 years, but they didn't have to. You know, that was an act,
That's
that was an act of judgment. That was an
right.
act
No.
of God's wrath against sin, was making them wander. And I think that's just a good thing to kind of remind ourselves. So.
Right. And God's, but they never experienced the absent God's love. And actually his main goal was to draw them back to himself. It was not to push them away.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh
Yeah, and
man.
what's cool is before, and I didn't even like kind of highlight this as much, but before they kind of turn around and start wandering back around the desert and stuff, God does forgive them. He specifically says that the people are forgiven, but they're still going to go walk around for 40 years. So there's
Yeah.
just so much of this kind of l interlaying of. And I think this is just the fact of the matter is like, as a fallen creation that once was really perfectly good as God intended it to be, now having fallen into sin, this is the way we have to experience the God who is good. Is like we can't experience him any other way other than some combination of like his goodness and mercy and forgiveness and his and the things that make us uncomfortable and the things that we don't necessarily like. And I
Yeah.
think that's just how there's no other way for a imperfect creature to experience the perfect God, you know.
Yeah,
So.
there's this gigantic gulf, right, between God's holiness and our and unholiness and our imperfection. But that, I mean, that's reached in Christ, but just perspective wise, we can't imagine a perfect world or what perfection is like or holiness is like, you know. That's an interesting point. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Oh man. But the thing that came to mind for me when I was thinking about your sermon was actually a quote from Narnia when they're dealing with Aslan, you know, and they're telling the kids, "Oh, there's this lion that's going to come." And they're kind of surprised it's a lion, you know, it's not some cuddly teddy bear. And then one of the kids asks, I think it's the talking beaver, whatever. One of the kids asks and says, "Well, is he safe?" And I love the response was, well, no, he's not safe. He's good, but he's not safe. You know, like it's not like you can just walk up to a lion and without any kind of, you know, a thought about it, you know. And I love that. He's not, no, he's like, no, it was like, but his response is something along the lines of like, of course he's not safe, you know, but
That's
he's good.
great.
But he's good.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And it does get like the things we're talking about here are so just like kind of above our comprehension, but like that reminds you of like the wildness of God. You know, God is so like kind of beyond our control and our being able to tame. You know, we can't tame
Yeah.
God. He's
Oh gosh, yeah.
so in that sense he's wild. He's outside of our kind of being able to put him on a leash kind of thing. And
Exactly.
like you said, but all of who he is good and all of his goodness is for our good. You know,
Man.
so it's just really beautiful when you get in some of these like really big kind of like existential topics where you're thinking of these like massive things about like God's character and then trying to bring it down to our level for us to just put a finger on it, and then to say, okay, what, how does this actually impact me and affect my faith and my walk with God?
Oh man. Yeah.
And really the ultimate drive of the sermon was just, and I kind of said this at the end, it wasn't necessarily to answer all those hard questions we have about God or to try to wrap our mind around him, but to simply be able to trust that he is good despite the hard things we go through. And
Yeah. I
yeah,
respect that.
and to
And
say,
I
Lord, help my,
No, I respect that because I think if we try to explain the hard things about God, we're not really giving God the respect he deserves. Like somehow this can be explained. Somehow this is all makes sense if you just parse it out. Well, no, God's way bigger than that. Yeah.
So yeah, some big stuff this past week, and it kind of it doesn't necessarily slow down or get any smaller, because
No.
this coming week we get into Psalm 97, which
Yeah,
has
right.
like could pick up on some very correlative themes, about just like
Right.
this, it kind of introduces this power, awesomeness, like hugeness, vastness, almost fear worthiness of God, and also kind of couples it with his love
Yeah.
and with his preservation of his people and everything. So as we start thinking more about next week, a lot of the similar kind of themes, or at least some definitely connecting points with these, the idea of God being, a God who's kind of this huge, massive, kind of all powerful, a God who's worthy of fear and praise and all these things, while also being a God who preserves, who loves his people. And I'm curious, kind of coming off of the big ideas that we had last week, how are you kind of working your way through Psalm 97, and kind of what's on your mind, what's on your heart, man, prepping for this coming weekend?
Well, I mean, you kind of hit it on the head, and there really is a kind of a tangential feel. Like it really, the Psalm 90 and Psalm 97 are kind of dovetail. And what I love is that it's kind of the depth of scripture. Like it would be really easy to reiterate what you talked about, and I will. I'm actually going to use the same idea from Numbers but I'm going a little different route where yours was, I'm going to forgive your sin. There's a price to pay. I'm going to forgive your sin, right? The where we're going with it is at the end, he says, "In all the world, all nations will know it's me. Like all nations will hear, will connect with me." And I think that's more the direction I'm going. Is the very first phrase in the whole psalm is, the Lord reigns, comma, let the earth rejoice." And I'm focusing on that. It's let the earth rejoice, and everybody's going to know at some point. Everybody's going to know that God is the true God. And whether you put your
Oh, I
faith in him
love
or
it.
not, at some point it's going to become abundantly clear to everybody. And so I'm focusing on that nature. And it's interesting, all the things that the signs, because we always talk about Hebrew being a very physical language, none of the signs that God that reveal God are personal. They're all like it's like the lightning of God. So lightning isn't meant to be like for one person, right? And it's the wind of God that splits the rocks. It's so all these powerful things. And so I'm really keying in on a pass a little just one verse from Hebrews. I think it's Hebrews 12. I think it's 12:8. I might be off on this, but it's Hebrews 12 where Hebrews says, basically, approach the Lord with gratitude. For he deserves something like appropriate worship. So what's appropriate worship? And then it goes on to say,
Interesting.
and then it goes on to say, with reverence and fear, for our God is a consuming fire. And so the interesting thing to me is like it says gratitude, right? So thankfulness. And then it goes on to say that God is a consuming fire. And so obviously we're not going to cover every aspect of worship, but the book, that psalm, talks a lot about worship. It talks about confession of sins, right? Like we say the same thing as God about sin, that we confess our own sin, that there's absolution, that we take joy in what God has done for us. And so it's going to be that balance of the worship life that is both full of gratitude, but also full of like reverence and fear and reverence and awe. I said awe, not fear, reverence and awe.
Yeah.
And so those are both part of worship. Like we should feel so comfortable coming to communion, but at the same time, we should be so kind of freaked out about the fact that God says, come on up and receive my body of blood given shed for you. Like, I want to be that close to you. So
that's awesome.
That's kind of where my heart's at on this. I think like you, I'm not really trying to settle anybody's, I'm not trying to settle it for anybody. I'm just trying to say, this is what it is. You know, this is what God says it is. And so, of course we look to the fulfillment of the dark cloud that, you know, God's power. We read that in the Psalms, saying a dark cloud is going to be a dark, terrifying cloud for everyone else. And then we realize like the dark cloud of his judgment came on Good Friday. Right. And so that was a terrifying day for God. Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm going with it.
Yeah. Some beautiful things about what you're saying. I love, taking the idea of, that first verse, let the earth rejoice, and the reality that all the earth and everyone in it will know and will acknowledge the one true God, and taking that and connecting it with the way that we worship here right now. And I think that's really important, because it reminds me of like the new life that will be ushered in at the return of Jesus. And it kind of like the restoration of God's creation and the images that we see in Revelation of just this whole multitude worshiping and praising God. Like it's kind of like a big worship service in a way. And and like the fact that life with God forever will be a life of worship, of praise, of acknowledging his kind of standing in awe of God, and just in gratefulness, like you said, in thankfulness. And I think it's important to kind of see that we're getting a taste of that kind of eternal, precious, like beautiful praise and worship and union with God. We're getting a taste of that union every time we partake in the body and blood of Jesus, every time, you know, we hear the absolution, every time we come together as his people. So I think that's a beautiful way to approach that, man. I'm excited to hear it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's a good reminder for me. I mean, we just keep those things in tension. you can absolutely, God is kind and gentle and in right there with you, and absolutely God is wonderful and we're filled with awe at his majesty. And so I don't know, it's just a good reminder of the worship life of God's people. So I'm excited for this weekend and diving into this one. So
amen.
Yeah,
well, it's kind of an interesting like few weeks here, because you were gone last weekend doing a wedding. I'll be guest preaching this weekend, so I won't be there. And then next weekend, you'll be leading some lessons for Camp Arcadia. So it's a lot of like kind of back and forth for the coming weeks.
Yeah, and I think the people think we're taking all these vacations. We're actually, I was on vacation last week. That was vacation. I was doing a wedding, but it was my nephew's wedding, so that counts as vacation.
Right.
But you know, we're preaching other places. I'll be preaching.
That's still work.
It was fun. Well, I'll be preaching next weekend in Camp Arcadia at Trinity, and then you'll be preaching at Arlington Heights, right? In St. Peter Arlington Heights. So this weekend. So
a lot of back and forth.
But. Yeah. St. Andrews, thanks for sharing your pastors with people. You know, we're trying to help out our brothers in Christ are on vacation places. You know, so yeah.
Amen. Well, hey, how about I say a quick prayer for you,
and let's do that.
Just pray God's blessing over the rest of your prep, man.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it, bro.
Oh Lord, Oh Lord, we're so grateful for the position and the place that you've called us and the gift that we have to proclaim your goodness and your love and your awesomeness to your people. Bless Pastor Matt as he continues to meditate through your word and you continue to speak to him and prepare to speak through him this weekend. Give him your words. Fill him with your spirit. And as always, give St. Andrews, give all of us the ears to hear and the heart to be impacted by and shaped by you. Lord, we're so grateful for all that you've done for us in Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Take care, St. Andrews.
See you guys.